He laid aside the insignia of his deity. I mean, he didn't come in glowing fashion. He could have been out shining like he did on the Mount of Transfiguration. He could have said, bow down and worship, here I am, here I am, and went through the streets and said, kiss my ring. He could have been in a limousine. He could have come in a day of media and said, here I am. He didn't do it that way. He came humbly. He said, I want you to be human. So I will become human and show you how it's done. And he became human. And he became a human who was impoverished. He became human that was vulnerable as a baby, just like all babies are. He became a human who reflected a relationship with the Father. And man, when he was hungry, and when he was tired, when he was thirsty, he always did what he was doing. He was always present 100%. And you know what's funny about that? Is that when he was hungry, you see in John chapter 4, he had not gone a long time without eating. His buddies, his entourage, his disciples went to get food. He meets this lady from Samaria. When's it Jesus? When's it himself? When's it salvation? They come back, and he's got time. He can eat now. He says, you know what? I'm not even hungry. I got meat to eat that you know not of. God says you can have a kind of life that is so lit up. I want to show you how it's done. Just watch me. And you know, I'm seeing that in a very rudimentary way with my little grandson. I hold him up and I coo and I talk to him. And if you were to just hear me talking, you'd think, boy, he's gone over the deep end. But he's my grandbaby and I'm trying to get him to respond. And I try to get him to smile. And I try to get him to talk. And you know, he's starting to talk now. It's kind of cute. I won't start. I got some pictures if y'all want to see you later. No, stop. But the whole concept is that what God wants? God wants you to relate to Him. He wants you to smile back. He wants you to see Him. And so He gives us His person. And He tells us we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. You know, God wants us to use our minds, our emotions, our intellect, our will. He wants us to use our whole being in loving Him. You know what? We can do this. You know, there are people out there groping after God. In fact, it says it in Acts that men might grope after Him and find Him. And yeah, that's okay. It's good if they're groping after God. The sad thing is when people aren't groping at all. But we ought to grope after God, and if we'll feel after Him, we'll find Him because He wants to be found. You shall seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. The sad thing is people put it off and put it off and put it off. And you know what's interesting about that is that God has come down with convicting power and He's stirred you up and He's startled you. If you get away with going away and sleeping on that and going away and sleeping on that, eventually it gets easier to let it go. Let it slip. Because the conviction gets less and less. But the fact is God wants to be found. And we can love Him. We really can with all heart, mind, soul. How? He showed us how. He showed the Israelites what His plan was for them. That they do the statutes, judgments, and commandments. Take the charge personally and fashion it out. And be like the guy who's the traffic guy out there in the middle of New York City. He wants you to love Him like that. He wants you to go. He wanted them to go through it. And He wants you to be a gazing stock now for your world. He wants you to be lit up about Him. He wants you to be honestly excited about how good it is to know God. You know, if I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'd be worried to death about our country. But I know where it's going. I know who's going to win. And I know that my God is able to do to the uttermost, far above everything we ask to think. He can do mighty things, and He shall. He's already told us what to expect. We're seeing it happen. He gives us Himself, but He also gives us His provision. Verse 10 says, And it shall be, when the Lord thy God has brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, that thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and with vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantedst not, when thou shalt have eaten and been full, then beware. Now, before we get to the beware, I want you to see some of the cool things he's doing. He says, you didn't build the cities, and you didn't plant the vineyards, and you didn't get the goods. I mean, the stuff that you enjoy, you didn't have anything to do with. You know what that is? That is the picture of grace, isn't it? He says, you live in cities. You know, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. You and I, right now, enjoy our citizenship in heaven. We have a dual citizenship. Philippians references it. Colossians references it. Ephesians references it. We are dual citizens. We are citizens of this world, but this world is not our home. We seek a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible says we're already seated there in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, full of our principalities and powers, and that we ought to live in accordance with our citizenship, our dual citizenship in Christ. But look at these provisions he's given us, goodly cities. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a wide place. David says, you've brought me into a wide place. He's given his house full of good things. You want to know good things that are in the house? You come on Sunday, I will tell you some of the good things that are in the house. There's pardon for sin. There's peace that endureth. But Lord, those are huge. You can lay your head down at night and sleep, as David did in Psalm 4, even though you're being run out of the city by your enemies. He said, I will both lay me down and sleep. Why? Because we have good things in the house. We have a pardon for sin, a peace that endures. We have fellowship with God. Our joy is made full as we fellowship with Him. You and I have a mission to do, to reach others for His Son and for His sake. It also says wells. Did you see that? Wells that you did not dig. Do you see that? Wells dig which thou diggest not. The concept here is, when you look at the Bible, you talk about the wells, you know, and you see water in the wells, and the Bible always talks about the water. And the water of the Word washes us and cleanses us, you know. God keeps saying it's okay, you know. If my little grandson one day will get into the chocolate and you have it all over his mouth, we'll just wipe him off because we can. You know what God does? He says, you're going to mess up, and He's going to wipe you off, and He's going to put you back up. Yeah, there might be a little squat behind you, but you're in the family now. You shall abide in the house of the Lord forever. Those are truths. Those are peaceful things. Not only does it, as it were, have this idea of cleansing us, but it also has the idea of refreshment. Nothing like a good cold glass of water on a hot day, is it? I mean, nothing satisfies like that. And then you can take it down in one draft. Some people get so good into it, they just pour it over their head. You see, that's what God does. He gives that to you. He gives that to you. And He gives it to you today and tomorrow, and the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And His mercies never come to an end. They're new what? Every morning. God says, that's for you. And He says, I did this. And you didn't do a thing to get it. You didn't dig the well. You didn't build the city. You didn't supply the furnishings of the house. You get to walk around and enjoy. He talks about vineyards and olive trees, and vineyards gave us the grapes, and the grapes were the crescendo of the crop, because out of the grapes they got the one thing that didn't taste like milk and water. That was their Coke, that was their Pepsi, and that was their iced tea, because they didn't have all those things. So they had the vineyard, and that was the delight, that was the crescendo of delight, and olive trees, that's the oil, and that represents always the Holy Spirit. God gives you the oil of gladness. And that's all stuff you didn't work for. He gives you the provision of all these things. He also gives us protection. He says, then beware. And we are just the type of people who flinch at the word beware, aren't we? We say, beware. Oh, well, that means, oh, here it comes. Forgive us, Lord. Amen? I'm telling you, folks, God says, beware and be aware. Be careful. Why? Wouldn't you tell somebody to be careful if you knew it was a dangerous road? Folks, I just want us to remember, this is a veritable viper's nest down here. Everywhere you go, there's so much to fall into, so much to draw you apart, so much to mess you up and undo you. I mean, there's hurt, there's hate, there's bitterness, there's hardship, there's want, there's need. And as one guy said in the Proverbs, at the end of the Proverbs, he says, God, don't give me more than I need, lest I forget you, and don't give me too little, lest I somehow steal and bring reproach to your name. He says, give me what I need. You know, God is good, and He gives us good things. He provides, but He gives us protection, too, because He tells us it's dangerous. He says, beware. Verse 12, He says, beware. He says, lest you forget the Lord who brought thee out from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Beware. You see, God tells you to beware because you came out of a background of sin. If you're saved this morning, you came out of sin. The Bible says, come out, you know, and that's what it's all about. And Egypt was a symbol of that bondage that sin really is in our life. When I was in my teen years, and I was in my foolishness, and I had my insanity going on, and I was just doing whatever came naturally and whatever the world tuned types to me, when I was doing all that, it got to the place where I felt like I couldn't not do it anymore. It's what was expected. And I remember those days because I would even feel it in my members, but I would hear the music saying it. I quoted Pink Floyd last week, and I'll quote them again. They have a song that says, it's too late to lose the weight you used to need to throw around. You know, the Bible tells us in the Scriptures totally, over and over again, that this world is not our home if we're His children, that we are set free from the bondage of sin, that we can walk free. For freedom Christ has made us free, the Bible says. And now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. You see, we have been made more than conquerors. Now, because that's true, we can walk free. You stumble back into a groove like you do in a rut, an old road, you know. Your wheel fall into the rut. You can get out. You can every time. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, Christ is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what He does. He says, I'm going to right you. I'm going to set you back up. And beloved, I'm telling you, we need to realize that when He says beware, it's not a reason to cower and put our head down. It's a reason to step up and say, what is it I need to know? I'll tell you what, Ryan is going to Iraq. They're going to give him things to do. And I pray God to put a bubble of protection around him. But I know God's going to leave much of that to him to be focused on the orders He's given. And those guys are not going to deliberately necessarily put him right in harm's way unless there's something to go in and get. And if they're doing what they need to do, God can bubble them in. But the fact is if you listen many times, most of the time, they're going to get you in and get you out. That's what they want to do. Beloved, here it is. It says, beware. And He says, beware lest you forget. Verse 12, beware lest you forget the Lord which brought thee out of Egypt. Why? He says, because thou shalt fear the Lord God. He wants you to keep that fear before you. You know, there's a lot of things we fear, and people like to put that little bumper sticker or window cling, you know, no fear. You know, the fact of the matter is there are some things we ought to fear. But the one thing we ought to fear is God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We already talked about that. What about this? The Bible says don't fear Him who can destroy your body, but fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. You see, because that's forever. That's done. And because that's true, we need to honor Him. And once we get our own situation considered and dealt with and get our sins washed away and get saved, we need to fear for our loved ones, for our children, for our family, for our friends. We need to fear because God will one day cast everyone we care about, go and see into hell if they don't come to Christ. So it's on us. We got to fear not to forget God. Don't forget Him. Don't go to work and forget Him. Take Him with you. Don't forget God. He says, beware lest you forget. He says, you need to fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, verse 13. That's worship. That's all that is. Worshiping God, serving God is the idea of entering into a cooperative effort, knowing He's God and we're not. Now, I don't think there's ever been a generation of people who needed to hear that or quote that back to themselves as much as America needs to. He's God and we're not. Therein lies the challenge, because once you get full, you don't think you need Him anymore. That's why He says, beware, lest when you get in there and you get full and you're satiated, He says, you're going to forget. Don't forget. He says, serve Me. And He says, in verse 13, don't forget, you shall fear Him, you shall serve Him, and you shall swear by His name. Interesting word for swear. You ought to do a little study on it. Those of you who like to really plunder the Scriptures, go look up the word swear here. It literally is the word seven. Because what it is, you remember when Peter said, shall I forgive my brother seven times? He thought he was stepping up and really exhibiting a lot of commitment. Jesus said, till 70 times seven. By that time, you've forgotten your count. So you just got to keep forgiving, was the whole point. Well, here's the concept. He says, you're going to live in a deliberate commitment to God. You're going to do things in the name of God. You know, a little heads up for you and me. Godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. But the bottom line is, we are not here for us right now.